You're listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF-FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey, kids.
I'm Batman.
Look, up in the sky. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's dance-off, bro. Me and you.
Hello, and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm your host, Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gilp.
Hi, I'm Sam Tweedle. I could talk about Archie forever.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
They know that I would have put it under my shirt and ran off.
What are you talking about? I haven't seen any Action Comics number 1.
Gwenpool, I mean Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff, this is going to be worth a few bucks. And nobody wanted it.
Yes, Dan, the Killing Joke does need to be R-rated.
I kind of like punching the walls of reality as a way to bring a character back because nobody knows what we're talking about right now.
Dark Knight Strikes Back was one of the biggest piles of dung ever, and it was what, $10 an issue?
We need to shame Sam. He is not here because he's gone to the Gem and the Holograms movie.
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm Dan Collins.
I'm Chris Gilpin.
And we have a special guest here today. You know, we've had a lot of guests here over the course of our tenure at Trent Radio. We've had Tony Andrews, who is the preeminent Peterborough citizen who knows about Golden Age comics. And tonight we have a special guest. We have Peterborough's preeminent adult comic specialist. Please welcome to the show, Adam Bishop.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Just joking around.
Adam, I read comics with one hand, Bishop.
I do have a nice library.
You read them for the story.
Yes.
That's
right. Yeah. Anyway, so all kidding aside, we've got Adam Bishop is here today, filling in. Sam and Marty are both. Sam's moving. Marty needed a night off, so we called in the reserves.
Yep.
So we have the two quiet ones and a guest. So let's see how this goes.
Yeah. So anybody feel free to jump in at any time.
So why don't we start with Adam first?
Yeah, let's put him on
and
the spot.
And just, you know, how did you get into comics? Tell us a little bit about comics. Like, you know the drill. He's a fan. He listens to the show.
Yeah, I guess my most early memory was having a Ninja Turtles comic. I think it was Ninja Turtles Adventures. It was based off the TV show. All I remember from it is that they were at a different dimension wrestling other people who were also mutants.
There you go.
Have you ever seen the, I think it's called Turtles in Time?
Yep.
DVD? Yeah. That one's a good one.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's based off.
It feels like a giant ripoff of Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So it's not the second movie where they get teleported back in time.
It was the third one.
Third one, sorry.
Yeah, no, yeah, this sorry. One this one is an animated one.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, where it brings together all the different Ninja Turtles incarnations.
Right.
Yeah, and they have to but it's so similar to Crisis that when I was watching it, I was like, did they sue them for this? because it's a white light and there's a being and they strap some of the turtles into this wall in the nether space and stuff. And yeah, but it was really cool seeing the gritty Ninja Turtles from the original comics up against the wacky 80s cartoon Ninja Turtles. So anyways, you were saying, Adam,
comics
now.
Yeah.
now I'm on the other side of the interrupting.
I think the other time was second earliest memory is getting a Gambit 4-pack inside of a box, and it was the mini series, and my mm-hmm. dad was like, are you sure you want to open it? And I was like, yeah.
Oh,
because you want to read them.
Yeah.
And I remember hating it.
I think it wasn't the best, but
yeah.
It was still, that was the 90s, right?
Yeah.
His first spinoff.
When I got it from Big League.
Oh,
George, yeah. Yeah.
From Sam?
No, I don't remember. I don't remember an angry guy being there when I shopped.
Oh.
Yeah, but I definitely.
Hey, guy, you want to try some Archies?
Yeah. I definitely remember having them rolled in the back pocket, though.
Oh, yeah.
That's, yeah, I was that kid.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of in the package, just another interruption. I was at Oh, I can't remember the name. In Belleville. Cool World Comics? Cool World? Well, anyways. And a bunch of us have been talking online about the Batman, the McFarlane titles. Covers. I mean, he did the interiors too. Or anyways, he did the covers. There's four iconic covers, I think. But the one that everyone was talking about was Batman with the big cape and whatnot. Anyway, so I walk into this place in Belleville, like a couple of days later, and here's the sealed, you know, buy four comics in a bag. And the one right up front was that McFarlane one that everyone was talking about. So I was like, oh, wow, that's how that came out. Well, probably not how it came out, you know, it was in the stores, but still, you know, four pack of comics. That was pretty cool. Still sealed. So, yeah.
It, like, you're talking about the one that's like red.
Yeah.
The red cover.
Yeah. 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 It was neat seeing in a package like that.
That's an iconic cover.
Yeah.
That's all the time we've got for this show.
I brought comics.
That's not how this show works.
Damn it.
We don't talk about comics. We bring the comics. We can talk about stuff. Sure. I'm already envisioning Marty editing this show and being like,
these guys are.
Well, we need a leader here.
Did you see the reveal of Mr. X?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Where was that?
Mr. X?
Yeah. Is his own book, right?
Yeah. I have no idea who he is. I just heard about it. Oh, I'm sorry. Major X. Mr.
Major
X.
Yeah,
Major
knew who X. You met, yes. Rob Liefeld.
Yes.
Yeah.
Comic book creator extraordinaire.
Oh, yes. I see it here on Bleeding Cool. But so what's the deal with Major X?
I have no idea.
Then why did you bring it up?
Because it's Rob Liefeld.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah,
how many pockets does he have?
Yeah.
I think
there's no pouches. There's no pouches.
No, but he has a sword and a gun. And you can't see his feet.
Gun.
Oh, you can't see his feet. That makes sense.
And apparently it's going to a second printing, you know, because everybody just hates Rob Liefeld.
But it is. It's from Marvel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't even know he was writing or drawing or whatever with Marvel still.
That was announced a while back.
Yeah,
well, there he is with his mask off, but you still can't tell. He looks like Cable. But
and Magneto.
And Magneto.
So it's Cable and Magneto's son.
Maybe.
Maybe. Maybe it's Magneto from the future.
Cable's currently dead, and I think Magneto is currently one of X-Man's horsemen in the X-Man world. If that makes any sense.
You said Cable's dead?
Cable's dead?
Yeah.
Because it says right here, what is his mission and how can the man known as Cable hope to stop him?
There you go.
So Cable's obviously coming back.
The Cable, I mean, he travels in time, so who knows. But the Cable we kind of know, gray hair, whatnot, is dead. And he was killed by a younger version of himself. So go figure that out. So I don't know if that's the younger version that's doing what he does best or whatever. I don't know. But I know Magneto is in this whole X-Man. They're doing basically it's Age of Apocalypse, but it's called Age of X-Man because he was in a few issues. He comes in and tries to take over, and then he teleports or whatever out into a new world. And he takes all the X-Men with him that are standing around him. So, but I have to give props to Marvel for doing this because Uncanny kept going. And you do not have to buy any of the X-Men books to keep reading Uncanny. Because Uncanny is now just Wolverine and Cyclops going like, okay, we're both back from the dead. Where'd everybody go? So it's good. Like, you know, usually you'd get Uncanny X-Men is now Uncanny X-Man's X-Men or whatever. And you'd have to read it. And then you have to start reading the side stories and the main story. So I really have no idea what X-Man is about, so I'm just staying right away from it.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't read any Marvel in a long, long time. Mm-hmm. Adam, what's your current comic book tastes like?
Oh, wow. Lots of licensed books from the 80s and 90s.
Like, let's say, because I know about your current comic book taste, but our listeners don't because we've talked about stuff. But like, so tell your Dixon story.
Oh, which one?
what did you get pulled from Dixon's?
Oh, Marvel previews. is was the last item I had pulled every single month. And when I go in, he'd always be like, did you want anything else?
I was going to say, that's a catalog. What do you mean?
Yeah, I'm looking for series that interest me. And I'd always add ones, but it seems that they were always miniseries, so they didn't last very long. Before that was Generation Hope.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I just thought I love your story of just getting the previews.
That's $1.25 plus
supporting,
tax.
I mean, supporting your comic book store any way you can.
Oh, yeah.
Even if it's just getting the previews and paying for them.
Well, according to Martin, who is not that busy because apparently he's like, hi, Martin. Mr. X is a Canadian. Go Canadians. And he's quite shocked Dan doesn't know who Mr. X is. But anyways.
Mr. X.
Well,
Major
X. Maybe
Major X.
This is Major X. Mr. X is somebody else.
So when did that come out? I was kind of half looking for that. I have
the Major X?
Yeah.
I don't even think it's out yet.
No, and second printing's coming already.
Yeah.
I'm sure third.
Major X number one has sold through its first print run ahead of appearing in comic book shops next week. So they're already announcing second printing. Yeah. Assuming they're going to sell out of the first one.
It's a number one, and it's first appearance of his face.
So first appearance
that's
of his.
This is a key issue.
Key issue, CGC it.
Yep.
I kind of thought.
First Liefeld Marvel work with feet.
Yep, with Major X. And it's Cable, apparently. But I thought that this is the first time I've seen his face and read that it was Cable. But we're assuming it is, because does it specifically say Major X is Cable?
No. Oh, okay. Cable is trying to stop him from whatever his mission is.
Okay.
This reminds me of the DC movie where, is it Luthor takes over Flash's body and unmasks himself? He's like, I have no idea who this is. And that's how I feel about this. I look at him like, I don't know who this is.
Maybe it's Strife.
Ooh,
90s flashback.
I'm okay with
Strife
that.
Is?
Adam is a huge fan of 90s comics, especially any X-Men-related character, X-related character.
Yeah.
So shouldn't you be getting Major X? It has an X in the title. Mm-hmm. It's from Rob Liefeld. This is everything that might interest you in a comic book.
He is Prince of the 90s.
I had kind of thought maybe it was Cyclops going off and doing his own thing, but because the helmet or mask they showed had the red X across the face, which at one point Cyclops did have something like that, right?
Looked like a guy from Speed Racer.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm enjoying the Uncanny, even though it literally is just Cyclops and Wolverine, who are literally both just back from the dead. I still like it. It has a lot of the old villains. Like, I think between number one and this last issue, 12 or whatever, 13, whatever it is, every villain, like from the 90s, has been in the book. Like, it's like, oh, that's cool. Oh, there he is.
So what happened with Cyclops? Like, I have not read a Marvel comic since I let my Marvel Unlimited subscription lapse like a year ago.
So who killed him? Because he killed Professor X.
Yeah.
That's how far back I remember.
That was, and I can't even remember who killed him the last time because he's died before.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember how did he come back. I'd have to go back and read it now. That's my memory for you.
Yeah.
But he is back.
He back died somehow, and now he's back.
That's what Marvel usually does. But
well, that's what all the companies usually do. But so,
Yep. So I noticed that on Newsarama, there's a thing about Captain America issue. Where did I see it? Issue 10 to 12 each pushed back a month. And I was sitting there last week, and like almost every day there was an article about Doomsday Clock number 10. Pushed back a week.
Yeah.
Oh, it's pushed back 2 weeks. Oh, it's pushed back 3 weeks. It's like, oh my, what are you people doing? You can't get this right? How long have you been doing this comic thing? Like, come on. Is it that hard?
Apparently it is. What did I saw something about it being pushed back, but I've lost it.
Yeah.
But Comic book delays, am I right?
That's right.
It's the bane of our existence. It That's the new bane of our existence.
Delays.
Whenever we get around to a new promo for the show, it'll be like, comic book delays are the bane of our existence.
I just do what I do. Just don't pick up your books for 6 weeks, and usually it's there by then.
Just or do what I do, which is send Marty to pick my books up once every 2 months, and right. then have my jaw hit the floor when he tells me how much it cost.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, it adds up so fast.
Yeah, I went into Grey Guardian yesterday, and it's, hey, Chris, we're starting to think, you're wondering it's, where you were.
It's when they're like, who are you again?
But I bought every single book that was in there. Yeah. So.
That's the thing. Like, dear comic book owners, comic book shop owners that I may patronize here, not patronize isn't the bad thing, but actually be a patron of.
Patron of, yeah.
I will pick up every single one of those books, just not in a timely manner.
Yeah.
So you don't have to worry about my dollars because I'm locked in. I am not gonna leave you with a dropped file, but it might be a while before I get in.
Yeah.
I think the only time I haven't picked up a book is when they went to hand it to me. I'm like, oh, I picked that up last time I was here.
Yeah.
And that's the only time.
Or it's like, that's not on my list.
Yeah.
Adam's like, oh, I'll take it anyways.
I probably would too. I'm like, I guess give me it.
Sorry, Mr. Gibson. I know I don't have anything being pulled for me, but I guess I'll just take this.
I had so much pulled.
Well, I think I told this. I'm sure I've told this story before when I was living in Kitchener. I had two pull lists, and the shops were literally right around the block from each other. So one was looking for Heroes, which is the big, you know, the big shop. And the other one was almost like a bookstore / comic book / record kind of store. But it had been a while since I'd been to either, and I went to the other one and they'd given up on me. They took all my books out and put them back on the shelf. And there was weeks worth of books. So I was like, God damn it.
Not,
I know
not
I,
even a phone call?
Not even a phone call. Just they just gave up on me, put them all back on the shelf.
Does the comic book store owe you a phone call? Like, do you think is that fair of them to just put your books out without even being like, hey man, you need to get in here?
At the time, I was kind of ticked, but like, as a business owner, I felt bad for going into the Guardian yesterday because it had been so long.
Yeah.
So officially, I think people should get their butts in and pick up their books each week.
I think
I don't do that.
I think that what it actually, like what it comes down to is when you reach a certain point, even if you want to go in, you're like, you're kind of getting embarrassed, like because you know, you're like, oh, it's been 2 months or it's been 3 months and maybe I'm only getting two or three books pulled, but now there's like 10 books in the file and you're like, I'm embarrassed to go in. And then eventually you just don't ever go back because you're like, no, I'm too embarrassed. But as like management in a store that deals with people getting stuff, like we have to call our customers to tell them that something's in. Yeah. We should call them more than once if they haven't come in. Like if we're holding an item, I know like at HMV, you know, we would call every week and you can have it held for 4 weeks. And then after that, it's too late and it gets put back out on the shelves. Slightly different because, you know, comic books, you keep accumulating and you also have like sort of you've built up this relationship with the store by having that pull file. That's more of a trust based relationship. So they trust that you will come in.
Yeah.
But like, I feel like you should have been at least called to be warned. You know?
See, and looking for Heroes, which is still open, by the way, and it's a great little shop, but I knew them better than the other guys around the corner. And I would still go into the store every week because I was, oh, this looks good. Can you put this in my... It was a bookshelf like that had cubicles. So you look at my cubicle and it's like a foot high of comics. And unfortunately, it got to the point where I started selling like stuff, personal stuff. Do we need this chair? I don't think we really need this chair, do we?
If we can get rid of this chair, I can go get my comics. Yeah. Nobody wants your chair, Chris.
And honestly, I have to say, I think I did leave a few when I moved back to Peterborough. So I can't remember, though. I don't know if I was a good guy and went in and got them, canceled my stuff.
But. The moral of the story is that life happens, but always keep your comic book store in the loop so they don't get stuck with your file.
Did you let them know that you were moving?
I think, yeah. I'm pretty sure I cleaned it out and let them know I was gone. So, I mean, I went back there last year.
And saw your face on the back wall with an X through it.
Well, it was still the same owner. The younger guys had changed, I think, but it was still the same owner, and he didn't tackle me or hit me or anything. So,
or remember,
I
guess he who didn't you remember are. Who
me and I had some good conversations. I was there for 3 years, but I looked a bit different, so that's fine too.
Yeah,
but I'm looking forward because we're going to Kitchener for Easter weekend. So,
yeah,
I'm hoping to stop in there.
I've only been to the Kitchener Warehouse of Love once.
Yeah.
And I got into both rooms.
That's good. That's good.
Spent almost all of my time in the downstairs because there's so much cool stuff to look through. Found some Captain Canuck comics that I didn't have at that point. Mm-hmm. And then went up to the upstairs. And I was like, and I had been given, it was a vacation week. And so this was a stop on the way home over my vacation. And it was one of those things where, like, you know, we do so much stuff over the vacation, go do this with the kids, go do that, spend some money here, spend some money there. And this was my planned stop. Mm-hmm. And I was like, some of the vacation money is going to comic books in this store.
Yeah.
And so I like had like maybe like $200 that I could spend. And this was back like when I was, before I was into slabs probably, but when I was looking for like a key comic or something. And so I looked around trying to find something cool and like a key comic to buy, but instead I bought like $70 worth of $2 comics. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, that's just the way it goes.
They've grown quite a lot because when I first went there, they were just down the street from where they are now. And it was like a one room, maybe as big as the footprint of the Trent Radio building here.
Yeah.
Right? And that was it. And that was like two floors of a building and just thousands and thousands of comics. It's just, but it's tough because when you go there, you got to be by yourself, right? Like one time I went there and Christine and Emma were in the car and I can just hear them swearing at me.
Yeah, that's what
I'm coming, I'm coming.
That's what I did. I had dropped the wife and the kids off at the mall.
That's
and then drove
that.
Back over, yeah, and like, you know, I was like, you 1 hour, just give me 1 hour. But
that's
then,
it?
Meanwhile, it takes like 20 minutes to get across town.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I'll be there. I'm going to be late, but yeah. So, yeah, it was a good store, fun to look at.
Yeah.
I know Adam likes to go through some stores, don't you?
Yeah, I've never been to the Kitchener one.
It's definitely a stop. Like, you can plan a weekend around that store. It's so
but not if there's stuff. A convention.
No, not if there's a convention. Yes, I'm sorry. We went. I think it was Martin and Sam. We were in, where were we? It was either Niagara Falls, Hamilton or something. I said, man, we're right there. We got to go to the Kitchener Warehouse Love. And they were at the show, too, but we get there, and the basement, which is the floor you want to go to, was closed, because they'd taken most of the staff and some of the books to the show. So yeah. It gets thrown in my face more than it should, but, you know, I'll let that go.
It's weird, because they do have, like, two different, like, checkouts,
yeah.
Right? Like, you buy your downstairs books downstairs, then you go upstairs and buy your upstairs books.
Yeah, because they're not connected with it unless you go outside, so.
Yeah.
You can leave the basement and throw the books in your car. So
they should escort you up.
Yeah.
Like just have an escort up so you can just pay it once. You don't have to pay twice.
Yeah. Well, I always see them at the shows. They remember me and stuff. So that's cool too.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they've got lots of great books.
My least favorite thing about seeing comic sellers at shows. Okay. So at the Tri-City Comic Con, I was like, when you're at a show and you're just sitting behind the table all day, you know, sometimes it's slow and then you just like need to stretch your legs or whatever. So I got up and I walked around a little bit and one of the sellers had like a couple of boxes of slabs and I was just kind of thumbing through them just for fun and to see like kind of what stuff costs and if they had anything that was even remotely cool. And then I saw something cool, like might've even been like, Green Lantern 76, like something that was a really cool comic, and the guy saw me looking at it and he's like, oh, that one's only $1,500. And I literally turned to him and went, have you seen how many people have come to my table today?
Yeah.
Do you think I can afford $1,500 based on like seven people buying my $5 comic? And then he was like, well, we can do down payments and blah. And he's giving me his card and he's like, and if you ever want to sell your comics, like if you need to sell your collection. And I'm like, man, I'm just trying to walk around here.
Yeah.
Like, save the hard sell for somebody who looks like they have money.
Yeah, and he's gone from one extreme to the other. Do you want to buy this $1,500 book? Oh, I'll buy your collection. Wait a minute. Dan's like,
Even have a collection. My collection isn't even here.
Leave me alone.
I'm in a strange city. Just leave me alone.
I think it's more amazing that he wanted a down payment.
That he would take it on. Well, I'm sure I wouldn't get the comic till I was paid.
That's right.
Layaway. I'll do layaway on a comic book from a seller at a convention who I will never physically see again.
Yeah.
That sounds good. And he had a young man helping him at the table and he looked embarrassed. Like he was almost giving me the like, I'm sorry, he does this to everybody look. So
I'm just trying to think who it might be.
It's nobody that I've ever seen like out this way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I know there's a father son team around. So
yeah. No, it wasn't.
Stop it, Dad.
Could you imagine? But like, that would be the best though, because the son probably would be like, just shut up, Dad. Leave the guy alone. Yeah. He's trying to sell some Captain Canuck comics, man.
Yeah. So. Well, when we were at Martin and I went to CBA, Comic Book Addiction in Whitby, and they have now they're basically like the Comic Book Warriors of Love, but not quite as big. But they have their upstairs, which is all the new stuff, and now they have the downstairs, which is the back issues. Mm-hmm. So you got, and it's all the same. Like, so basically they merged. What they had was a warehouse. They had an actual warehouse in Oshawa. So now they've merged both the warehouse and the store into a new store. So they do have slabs downstairs right beside the half off books. And they looked like, you know, and they weren't really that expensive. So it was like the lower end. But to me, some of them, like, why would you slab this book?
Yeah.
Have you been downstairs there yet?
I have not been. I've only been to CBA once since they opened a new location in September. Marty has gone for me since then.
I think I've been there four times. Twice downstairs. Once it was closed, and every time I went downstairs, within 10 minutes, it's like, okay, I'm closing up.
Yeah, I did learn that the guy downstairs, he has another job, like a 9-to-5 job.
Yeah, I had to take a picture of the hours to know what it was, you know?
Yeah, I just learned that recently, too, so.
It's like, I just want to buy some cheap comics, please, sir. I have money.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure, like, why there's a disconnect. Why not just have a regular employee run that then or something?
Well, I know the guy, the gentleman downstairs is the same guy that was at the warehouse when it was open on Saturdays.
Yeah.
Maybe it's technically all of his product and not...
No, it's...
It's a mixture?
Yeah, no, it's Steve's. I think it's all Steve's stuff, but for whatever reason, he does the stuff downstairs, which used to be in the warehouse. And
because, like, Alex and the other guys used to work at the warehouse as well.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, Alex is usually there, too. Yeah.
It's not like the warehouse was a separate entity with employees, so can't Alex just go downstairs and sell me some gosh darn books? Answer is no.
I don't know.
No. Yeah. I just got a message from Martin.
Yeah?
And he wanted me
because I'm not answering him. No? I'm ignoring him.
What did he want, Adam? What are you rifling through there
He wanted us to talk about this comic.
Okay, Waterworld.
Oh, nice. Sweet. You need to get Kevin Costner to autograph that.
Yeah, it doesn't look like him because he didn't want his likeness to be used for the comics. I don't know why.
Why not?
I don't know. But yeah, so it's a four-issue series.
Okay. Nice. Children of the Leviathan, it's called.
Yep, and it's about people who live underwater inside of a rapture-type city. And there's crab people down there, too.
So that's different than the movie.
Yes, it takes place a little bit after it.
Oh, okay. Okay, I see.
Yes, it's been a while since I've read it. It's horrible. But I love it.
I love it. It's so bad.
If Sam was here, he'd be like, now, Adam, why do you like this? And I'd be like, I can't even tell you why. It's just, yeah. I don't know if Martin's read it. I hope he has.
It's probably in his to-read pile.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
So do you know that Kevin Costner didn't want his likeness used? Or
from what I've read, yes.
Okay, because I was going to say maybe they couldn't afford, like, maybe they had to repay for his likeness or something. And so yeah. They're like, well, we can't afford that, so we'll just make it look like, it looks almost looks like Kevin Sorbo.
Yeah.
Yeah, he has,
it's got a little Kevin Sorbo-ishness there.
Definitely does not look like Kevin Costner in the least.
I looked up the artist a while ago, seeing if he did anything else I recognized, and I couldn't find anything. And I was hoping he'd be at some kind of convention, but he probably retired after this book.
Acclaimed comic, science fiction.
So, Adam, why do you like Waterworld, the movie, so much?
When it was on, probably the Movie Network, after it was on pay-per-view, my parents rented WrestleMania 1 year, and then that was just on. I watched it in 96, I think. And I don't know. I love it. It's a great movie. Everyone's dirty all the time.
Even though the planet's covered in water.
Yep. They value dirt over everything else.
Oh, yes. Right. Right. Because Costner would go down to the bottom and scoop up some mud or something.
And probably let it dry, yeah.
We need your mud.
I'm just looking through the trivia for the movie there, yeah.
I tell you that Jack Black is the pilot of the plane that Kevin Costner shoots. It's in the extended edition, which is 20 minutes longer.
Oh.
20 minutes of...
Oh, I haven't even seen that.
There's a new extended edition that just came out through Arrow, I think it was.
Yeah.
That is actually a fan edit.
Really?
That's 40 minutes longer than theatrical, I think it is.
Wow.
Kevin Costner invested $22 million of his own money into the film.
I'm pretty sure he ghost-directed it.
Yeah, he and the director, Kevin Reynolds, had a huge fight, and Reynolds left saying Costner should only star in movies he directs, that way he can work with his favorite actor and director.
I am a big fan of The Postman as well.
I enjoyed The Postman.
It's great.
I thought The Postman was a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody, I feel like those two, Waterworld and Postman, are like a two-pack of stupidity for most people. Like, this is, everybody's like, ugh, Kevin Costner was great until he did Waterworld and The Postman. But, I agree about Waterworld. I just think Waterworld is awful.
Postman's based on a novel, right? And Waterworld is just
made up,
but yeah.
There is a Waterworld stunt show at Universal Studios California.
Oh.
Yes, it's their number one rated show at that amusement park.
Maybe you can bring your comp and get them to sign it there.
Maybe. They'll probably just get it wet.
Oh. But to me, they did a great thing in that movie, because when you read the book, he's walking up to that dam or whatever, and he's like, this guy opens the door, and I immediately recognize him, but... And then the guy's like, yeah, I used to be famous, but that doesn't matter anymore, right?
Yeah.
And then you're watching the movie, it's Tom Petty, the guy that opens the door.
Yeah.
It's the same, he's playing himself in the future or whatever, in the apocalypse.
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to be that guy, but I'm not that guy anymore.
Like, I don't remember anything about The Postman, really, except that I watched it and kind of enjoyed it. But I remember lots of things about Waterworld because I hated it.
So
Dennis
good.
Hopper was horrible.
Better than he was in Mario Brothers.
Debatable. It was just such an over-the-top, in-your-face movie. Maybe the mythology of it could have been... Maybe these other cuts will be better. But more than likely, it's 40 more minutes. I'm just going to be like, I hate Dennis Hopper.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
That leads me to another tangent, only because we watch Big Bang Theory every night. But there's one episode where there's an issue with a movie they didn't return. And anyways, the movie at the end, they said the movie was Super Mario Brothers the movie, which was okay. But it raises a question, though, and you guys are into video games as well. Why are they called the Mario Brothers?
Well, because their last name is Mario.
So in the movie, not in the games.
So he's Mario.
Mario and Luigi Mario. Yes, in the movie.
In the movies, they
actually say that.
Do they?
Yeah.
It's been a long time since I saw it.
John Leguizamo's like, Luigi Mario.
It's a terrible movie. But Mario. Okay, it's terrible, but it's weirdly fun.
Oh, yeah.
And my kids watched it a couple years ago, and they thought it was hilarious.
It has those big dragon... guys, right? They kind of walk around.
The Goombas. Yes. Yeah, those are supposed to be the like, Goombas. Yeah.
It's just, there's, nostalgia is the only redeeming factor in that movie.
Yep.
Yeah. Because the Mario was, help me out. He was in.
I don't remember.
Roger Rabbit,
Bob,
right?
Bob
Hoggins, yeah. Yeah. So it had, it had people in it. It had good actors in it, but that doesn't make a good movie.
No.
A good script makes a good movie.
That's right.
Not even good special effects, like the Goombas and,
So have we all seen Captain Marvel?
No.
I know Dan was going to say no. I wasn't sure about that.
No, I'm just waiting for New Mutants to come out.
Well, you're going to be waiting a while. I think.
No, like, August. August.
It's okay. Are you They've serious? Said that before, August. I'm sure.
They just supposed had to be news, April.
Right? They just had news about it going like, what are we doing with this movie?
I know the dude from Stranger Things is in it. I don't know his name, but he's not allowed into North America anymore or U.S. because of...
Oh, yes, because they, like, brought drugs.
Yeah.
So, oh, jeez. Oh, the brother.
Yes.
The older brother, yes. Yeah, yeah.
And I don't remember the actress's names. The girl from...
Game of Thrones.
I was going to say the Vitch or the Witch in Split Glass.
I'm not... is that the blonde?
No,
Because
Maisie Williams from Game of Thrones is in it, yes.
She's Rain, right? I'm pretty sure she's Rain, the werewolf.
Yeah, and then I think it's Eliana.
Eliana? Yeah.
Yes.
She seems to be the head.
Yeah, that's the girl from The Witch.
Oh,
right?
Okay.
Or Split. Did you see Split?
I don't. Oh, Split. Yeah, yes. Yeah.
So the main girl, she's in it as well.
She's the one that escapes. And,
I don't. Okay. Maybe Dan's Chances. Looking up names. Cause
No.
Just awesome.
No, I'm just on Facebook.
People screaming. It's like, this is her name. I don't remember.
So it is coming out in August, eh?
That's what it says. Yeah. Fox updated the trailer for it where it said April, but now it's August.
There was a trailer? Oh, there was. Because yeah. There was an image of Rain kind of starting to change.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, because
it's a teaser trailer that makes it look like a almost like a Blumhouse movie.
Yeah. I think she'll. I mean, she's one of my favorite characters in Game of Thrones. Like, she just kicks butt. It's awesome. But Captain Marvel was good. The fact that it took place in the I'm going to say 80s or 90s, 80s I think. It was great, nostalgic, but there was. You guys haven't seen this, so I can't get into
the details. I don't mind. I'm not.
Neither one of us is probably going to see this movie in a timely fashion.
No, Marvel Cinematic Universe isn't for me. The X-Men universe, amazing. I'm sorry.
It's a battle for this ultimate energy source that Captain Marvel's mentor was using. Well, at the end of the movie, the power source turns out to be the Tesseract.
Okay.
Right?
And there was all these little connections to all the different Marvel movies, not the X-Men movies, but
to the Disney-owned Marvel movies.
It's true.
Yeah, they had Coulson, and he was, digitally younger, like Professor X and Princess Leia were. Mm. I didn't mind it. I didn't notice it too much, but I guess Martin did. But I didn't really notice it too much. But Samuel Jackson, it kind of shows how he got his eye taken out. So there's all these little kind of connections to it. So it was, and I didn't mind her acting. A lot of people thought she was kind of stale. And
she does the superhero pose a lot.
Oh yeah, so the hands on the costume. Yeah, yeah. But I liked it. I really enjoyed it. What's up next? Is Avengers next?
Yeah, Avengers is just around the corner, isn't it? May or something.
Yeah, it's something out on April 5th. What's happening on April 5th?
Is that Game of Thrones?
No, I think
I don't know. That's April.
Oh, Shazam is officially out.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah,
Shazam's not out officially yet.
No.
That movie looks fun.
For some reason it was out last week on a Thursday. It was a special
premiere. He wearing a spongy suit? Or is that
I'm assuming so cuz he's not that big a guy.
Which is fine. Like, I don't mind.
When he does interviews, he says it's all him. But I don't know. It looks a little puffy to me.
Mm-hmm.
But he's been in a few movies too. Like, he was Chuck on TV show Chuck. I don't know if you guys saw that.
No. Yeah, Chuck was a great show.
It wasn't. It was an awesome show. But he's been in
Better Lord than Water World.
He's been in Lord of the Rings, and he was the bad guy in Guardians of the Galaxy. I can't think of his name either. The guy with the staff that wanted the
Ronin.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I think, yeah.
From the first one.
Yeah,
the first Ronin.
the first Ronin.
But that was okay. So that was another...
Ronin the Accuser. Is that who it was, or the
the Accuser? I think yeah. That was another connection. Was she had a team of oh my memory, not Skrulls, the other ones. Oh Adam, come on, you're young, you should know that. Anyways, her team of
Kree. The Kree and the Skrulls.
I was going to say Inhumans.
Jeez, no. Oh, my memory. Her team of Kree had the character from Guardians of the Galaxy. He's at the beginning with the three or four guys that find Starman. Mm-hmm. He's the guy that goes, who? So I'm assuming he's the same character. He's alien, so who knows how he aged. But he looked exactly the same. It was the same actor. Mm-hmm. So there's all these little things that kind of hinted to the other movies. So I thought it was good.
Okay, so Chris, I have a few things that I've been waiting to talk about.
Yes,
specifically go. With you, because okay. We share these same interests. One is that we should talk about the latest episode of Walking Dead. Have you seen it?
I have not seen it, but I've read all about it.
I have not seen it either, but I've read about it.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, maybe first I'll do a callback to an episode 6-7 weeks ago when I said it was one where Marty was maybe particularly ranty, and I said, "Hey, I've got something positive we can talk about in between rants, so that the show doesn't feel too negative or whatever."
Can we hold on 1 second?
No.
Christine, turn the radio off, because I want you to be shocked when you see this scene.
Okay, well, this, yes, for the next 20 minutes.
Because she doesn't know what it is yet, because we're a couple episodes behind.
So. Well, I was going to talk about the other thing first,
okay,
but...
go.
So the other thing is, I finally watched the entire season of Doctor Who.
Oh, okay, good.
Including the Christmas special.
Mm-hmm.
So now you've seen it, right?
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing.
Yep.
So... I bought the season, came out like January 27th or something. I bought it when it came out, and then sometime in early February, that's how long I've been holding on to this. Early February, I binged the whole season, and I thought it was good. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed the season. Again, because I know that you had said, like, this show kind of just got better and better as it went, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we all agreed it seemed to be a rocky start.
Yeah.
And, with my famous rant about there's no magic in this Doctor Who. And so it was off to a rocky start. I had watched the first three episodes originally as they were airing. And then that's when I fell off the wagon as far as keeping up, because I wasn't watching them in a way that I enjoy. Like, I was watching them on my phone in between things, and not like, in the comfort of my own home and able to like actually soak it up.
Yeah.
So I binged, like, I watched like four episodes in one night, which is huge for me because I don't have a lot of time to do this kind of thing. And so, like, I just binged four episodes. Was probably late picking Tabitha up from work because of it. And then, as I'm watching this, like, because it has been a very divisive season, not just, like, amongst local people who come to the radio show and talk about Doctor Who, but, like, I have a lot of Doctor Who friends online, and a lot of them were saying, like, positive things or negative things or things that they didn't like. And as I'm watching it, all these things that I've heard, negative things that I've heard, I see them, and I was literally like, that's what you chose to get mad about? Like, one of the episode where they land on the hospital ship.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
One of my Facebook friends was complaining about the fact that they had alien species that were men that got pregnant on that episode, and that this was something that really annoyed him.
He knows it's fake, right?
Yes.
Okay.
But like, it's not even like a plot point. It's just there in the episode.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's not like it's like, oh, gender equality and in your face and we're gonna make men go through childbirth. Like, it's literally just one patient of many on this ship. And not even like I literally thought the whole episode was going to be about it based on like people ranting about this. And it's just a tiny, tiny thing in this greater episode. Mm-hmm. So my overall thoughts are I'm still not a huge fan of Jodie Whittaker as the Doctor. I think that as a team, they work cohesively. Mm-hmm. But there is too many people in the TARDIS.
Yeah.
And it takes the spotlight. Like, she doesn't do much in each episode.
Maybe that's
whereas,
why they have
like, but like
three companions.
In, like, when, you know, in your traditional Doctor Who, where there's, like, the Doctor and a companion, you know, there's a lot more screen time, a lot more thinking done by the Doctor and plot movement and, like, figuring things out. Mm-hmm. And I feel like with so many people, it's spread too thin.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like, it's like, and also in order to make all of their stories work, you have to give airtime to each character with its own character development to make it feel like, you know, something real and something worth watching.
Yeah.
So I think there's too many companions. The Doctor doesn't shine as brightly as the Doctor should. The plots are fine. It's not quite Stephen Moffat. Like, Stephen Moffat did a very dark Doctor Who.
Mm-hmm.
Like, his Doctor Who was like gothic horror, you know? And so I find there's still some of that scariness, but it's not the same, like, it's not the same level of scariness. In that, like, you know, Stephen Moffat maybe had more of a, like, brooding horror,
yeah.
Whereas this is more like, just, I don't know, feels like shiny, but jump scares.
Right.
You know, not like an actual thing, like, where you feel like actual fear while you're watching the episode and you're like, this is creepy. Like, these are more like, just, it just doesn't have the same level.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nothing wrong with that because it's supposed to be a kid's show. Like, let's get back to that. At the end of the day, this is supposed to be a kid's show and not to terrify adults, so.
Yeah.
Now, I watched the Christmas special. Didn't like that at all.
No.
Didn't like it at all because I...
That's the Dalek
putting the Dalek episode, yeah. I didn't like it. I don't know. It felt like... You know how in comics when they have the character that's become so overpowered that they can do anything and then they have to destroy the character and bring it down to a level so that they can make it a normal character?
Yep.
It felt like they were trying to do that with the Daleks.
Okay.
Like, this is the Daleks, but the Daleks are so bad, one single Dalek can wipe out all of humanity on Earth. It probably couldn't. Like, we could defeat them with sticks and stones if we have to.
Yeah.
Might kill some people, but...
We could just run up and rip those plungers right out of the front of them.
Yeah, I also was kind of confused because, like, it showed the Dalek being killed in the past and split up into three pieces, and one of those pieces is, like, reactivated, and it shows the other two pieces, like, something happening at those sites.
Yeah.
But it doesn't show, like, those pieces joining together with the other piece or anything. So, like, are there three Daleks? Did it reconstitute into three separate Daleks and the other two are just waiting, biding their time still?
Maybe the three different colors. Is there three colors? Red, blue?
It depends on who's doing it.
Okay.
The Stephen Moffat rainbow Daleks.
Oh, yeah.
Exterminate.
I did like the story that involved the one character and his dad.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was a big part in that episode.
Yeah, that was closer to the end, right?
Yeah, him and his dad. And so I enjoyed that part. Just didn't enjoy, really, the Daleks. What I did enjoy, the episode that was about Amazon, basically. Do you remember that one with the packages?
Yes.
The robots?
Yeah, I
did enjoy... Jungle. Yeah. I can't remember what that one... But yeah, that was the one where she gets the Fez.
Fez, yeah.
which I'm sure was, you know, one of the moments where you were like, okay, now we're on the right page here. She's wearing a fez.
Yeah.
And what I enjoy in that one is, spoilers, the bad guy, they make it look like the robots are going to be out of control, mm-hmm. but it's actually like a white terrorist who's trying to undermine things and not like the robots, because they make it the whole time. You're like, the robots are out of control, which is a very done trope in Doctor Who especially. But rather than have it be like, you know, some like quote unquote normal terrorist type group, they make it what is actually a new terrorist, which is a white guy with a chip on his shoulder.
Yeah.
So I thought that was very well done.
Yeah, because I was actually, at some point during that episode, I'm going, man, this is just an episode with the Oods.
Right? Yeah.
Is that how you say it? Oods?
Yep.
You know, they're all getting reprogrammed and they're all going to turn on it. It's like, oh, okay, I didn't see that twist coming. All right, that's good.
Yeah, and that's, yeah, because it's, you know, as you're watching, you're like, I've seen this episode done before, just with a different dressing.
Yeah.
You know, but then, yeah. No. So, yeah, I thought that was a good one. And that one was actually, you know, had some kind of creepy moments as well. It's always creepy when there's robots out of control.
Mm-hmm.
So,
so that kind of answers my question I was going to ask you then. A general question about how they almost ignore all the previous Doctor Who's, like,
yeah.
Anything about the Doctors. Like, it stands out like a sore thumb, right?
Yeah, it definitely does.
Like, not until the Fez we get any kind of reference to the previous Doctors.
And then they made more references after that, yeah. But they were all still very, like it's as we said on the episode that Adam hated. I remember after our entire Doctor Who episode, Adam was like, I can't believe you guys talked about Doctor Who for an hour. I kept waiting for you to change the subject.
I've never watched Doctor Who.
Yes.
As far as I know, it sounds a little bit like Sliders.
No. By the way,
Adam. Get off of him.
Did you see that at the Toronto Comic Con a couple of weeks ago? They were talking with what's his face?
John Ray
Davies. Yeah. Yeah, and he postulated on a Sliders return.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that'd be great.
Did you not hear this?
No.
No. He said that they were him and
Jerry O'Connell.
Yeah, we're going to NBC to try and see if they could figure something out.
I don't know if you know this, but I've met John Rhys Davies.
Okay.
Yeah, at a fan expo, I think. Everyone was in line with their Indiana Jones and what else was he in? Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Stuff. And I was the only person there with Sliders stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm standing in line, like, holding the two box. It's like, I'm so excited. And people are just looking at me, and they're like, did you not go to his talk yesterday? I'm like, no. It's like, he hates Sliders. I'm like, what? So I literally have two box sets, and I walk up. I'm like, hi, sir, will you sign these?
Well, I was at that talk. I don't know if I'd say he hated Sliders, but he had some issues with
it. With the producer, I think?
Yeah, there were some issues. But I don't think he hated the show in general, just some
good, parts. Good, because I love it.
Yeah, I watched it from when it first started. It was great.
Season 5, though.
Is that when they brought in his brother, or was that before?
I think they brought him in season 4.
And then they merged into one new Mallory.
Yeah.
I fell off somewhere around. Like, it's so weird thinking about watching TV 10, 15, 20 years ago compared to now. Mm-hmm. Because if you worked Friday nights, you didn't see your show.
Oh, I know.
You know? Mm-hmm. And like, you know, I used to watch Sliders all the time, but then something happened. I just no longer was there the night it was on. Don't know what happened.
Yep.
And then I bought the DVDs as they were releasing them. And
same with me.
And then I literally saw an article saying they were never going to release season 5 because it's the worst thing ever produced, ever, in the history of TV. And then they released it anyways.
I don't know. The worst?
That's what, like, this article I read said.
I'm trying to think what's really bad.
That's where they had, like, a race of, was it, like, aliens or something that knew about the technology?
Yeah, and were chasing them? The Neocroms or something like that? I can't remember. It's been a while.
I like the, anything with an alternate reality, I like. I think it's neat the way they, if you change this one thing, this is what happens.
Was it season 3 that they first introduced, like, the aliens that were jumping through as well? Or was it, like, season 2?
I don't think it was earlier. I think it was later on that they started doing that.
And I feel like that was kind of when a lot of people thought, because like the show was very episodic up to that point, right?
Yeah.
It was just every episode was a different world.
Yeah.
And that was an interesting, cool thing. And like limitless possibilities, really.
Mm-hmm. They were called the Cro-Mags.
Cro-Mags.
Yep. Yeah, it was instead of having a villain of the week, you had a world of the week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, that could have gone on forever, but I guess they got tired of that.
Of creating new worlds where anything's possible.
Literally. They got tired of having to create an entirely new world every episode, 20 weeks of the year.
That's true.
I mean, you can't blame them, I guess.
I always remember the one, I think it was just one of the openings, like 5 minutes of the opening where they were walking around and somebody bumps into a woman. And the woman starts walking away, and the guy jumps up. Hey, I can be your lawyer if you want. They're like, what are you talking about? And she's rubbing her neck. The woman's walking away because everybody sues everybody for anything on that world.
There is an episode. It's at the end of the episode and beginning of the next one where they're on a planet where the polar ice caps have melted. So it is a water world. And they're standing on top of just a building that just the tip of it is poking out. So. Yeah, I just wanted to talk about Waterworld.
So that's the Waterworld crossover episode.
Yeah.
Kevin Costner is out on a Sea-Doo in the distance.
Hey, there's Kevin Costner. He's got mud in his hands.
Now you learn that he just gets it from the top of this building.
Yeah. More or less, yeah.
Oh, yeah, because I went to that was one of the best Q&As I was at. And I hadn't intentionally gone to that. For him, I was going to the one after that, but I thought, I might as well hear him talk. And I mentioned this when I was on the last show I did here, where he said this thing about finding a job. He said, find a job that you would do, that you love it so much you would do it for free, but just make sure you get paid for it or something like that. And I was like, oh, wow, that's great advice. Because if you don't love your job, then it makes it kind of hard. So no one's going to comment on that. We'll leave it that alone.
Yep. So I don't think we've got. We'll save The Walking Dead for next week because we have more than probably 3 minutes worth to talk about for that. So
I've seen the first episode of Walking Dead, and that's it. Go ahead.
Episode?
That's all I've seen. Okay.
I doubt he. I don't think he listens to the show, but just a shout out to Oliver Castaneda.
Yeah.
Great, amazing artist. And I know I've mentioned him before. He is doing the Niagara Falls Comic-Con exclusive Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle cover.
Yep,
IDW, which I think is, to me, it's a big time. I know it's not Marvel or DC, but still, it's a major company. It's the Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
Which he does a fair bit. I've got a few of his prints with the turtles on them. So, like, congratulations. I think that's amazing.
Yeah, congrats, Oliver. And the cover looks great.
Yeah, I've already ordered a couple copies off eBay since it won't be going to Niagara Falls, but you can get it on eBay. But it is a pre-order because it doesn't come out, I think, until the convention starts. Yeah. So.
No, that's pretty cool, yeah.
Yeah. I've got a couple original stuff from him. He's amazing. I got to pick up the second issue of his comic book, too.
Yeah, I'm really mad because I've forgot about that one when I was at the Toronto Comic Con.
Yeah.
You know, like I was walking around and there's so many people there, you always forget somebody.
Yeah.
Especially if you walk by and they don't shout out your name.
Yeah.
So, right. You know, if you shout out my name and I'll stop and buy your comic. So if you know my face, shout out my name if you want money.
Yeah.
Do you got another comic you want to talk about, Adam? We got 1.5 whole minutes here.
Oh, he's going back in the bag. What else did he bring?
Sure, I am. I'm going to pull out. This is based on a movie which I have not seen. It's called 2010. I think the biggest thing that attracted me to it is this man right here. I don't know if you can tell who that is.
Let's see. Who is it?
Right there.
Oh, John Rhys Davies, isn't that?
I was going to say it's Jason Alexander.
Oh, it's Jason. Oh, yeah. But he's not in that movie.
I've never.
No, he's not in
2010, the sequel to 2001.
Yeah. Is that what it is? I don't know.
Yeah.
That looks like Jason. Is that not him?
No.
Maybe I'm crazy. Never mind. Who is this man?
I don't know, but you thought that Jason Alexander was playing a scientist in space.
It does
look like him. Mm-hmm. A little more kempt, or up a little more
clean
shaven. Like, you know, if George had a beard, I'm sure it'd be a bushy, crazy beard. But
yeah, afterwards I did look him up to see if he was in it. I couldn't find it, so that makes sense then. I don't know who this is.
Yeah, one of the astronauts, scientists that went up with... Schneider.
I've never seen that movie either, though.
Oh,
So
you guys,
it's an actual sequel to 2001.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen that.
And there's either. A third one, which I don't think they made a movie, but there's a third book.
Oh.
And Adam has to watch 2001 and 2010 tonight. That's your right. punishment.
So do you, Dan.
I can't. I don't want to.
Okay.
All right. Well, that's all the time we've got for tonight. Thanks, Adam, for coming in and sitting in.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. And as always, you can check out the show on Stitcher, Google Play, iTunes, and we're now on Spotify. And that's it for tonight. See you next week.
You have been listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Ontario, and available as a downloadable podcast at www.heykidscomics.ca and at www.firstcomicsnews.com. Promotional consideration for the show was provided by no one. Are you kidding me? We couldn't get advertisers if we tried. Wardrobe for our hosts was provided by Joe Nerds in Whitby, Ontario. They don't know that fact, but that is where we get 90% of our clothes from. No animals were harmed in the making of this radio show. Marty tried, but allergies won't let him get too close to Sam's cats. The views and opinions expressed by Sam are solely his own and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the rest of the hosts, as we all like The Walking Dead TV show. The Hey Kids Comics Radio Show is a Quinn Martin production and copyright Hey Kids Comico. Rebroadcasting in part or in whole of this show is forbidden, but really, who would want to anyway?